Greetings in Jesus' name. I welcome each one here to this time of the service here. Been blessed with the singing and God's word that was already shared here this morning. And trust that we are looking to see what God has for us further. Can we stand and let's pray? Our Heavenly Father, we do just pause here this morning with thanksgiving. We thank you for again bringing us together. We thank you for giving us health and strength that we can have the freedom to come here this morning. Lord, we thank you for your love towards us and that you were willing to suffer and die and that you rose again that we might have life. And we claim that promise here this morning, Lord, and that's why we're here. And Lord, I just pray that you would teach us as we're here. We want to learn from you. We want to grow in you, and we want your will to be accomplished in our lives, Lord. I ask, Lord, for your hand of protection over us as we place ourselves before the preaching of your word. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'd like to read the first part of this chapter here. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and others, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers, by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. For you are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. I'd like to stop there and just process a little bit here what we just read. I recently was reading through this chapter and just caught my attention here in verse 5, who is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. And then verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And I was just pondering that for a bit there. We look at the beginning of the chapter there, and apparently there was squabbles about who's important and I'm following this person and someone else is following someone else he was talking, speaking out in this, and that it's not about Paul, it's not about Apollos, it's not about me. And I was just thinking about that. God is wanting to use people to do his work. He has chosen to use people to reveal himself, to do his work. And as I was pondering that and thinking about, well, in my life, I choose people to do certain tasks. I go to certain mechanics because I believe that they are qualified to do the job, and obviously God is looking for a certain people to do his work. And what I see here is it's not about Paul, it's not about Apollos, but ministers whom you believe, even as Lord gave to every man. And what we notice here in verse 6 is that Paul planted and Apollos watered. But we notice here that they were doing what God had showed them to do. But it wasn't because of them that the spiritual work was happening. God gave the increase, and that God was working in their lives. Verse 7 here. We notice that it's a spiritual work that is being done through us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'd like to look at this verse here. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We see Paul's testimony here. He was wanting to do the Lord's work, and he was asking God for something here. And this was God's response to Paul here, is my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then in Philippians chapter 3, if we turn to that, Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Should stop there. Here, his testimony is those things that he had that were of value to this earth, he was willing to let go of those things for the cause of Christ. And he only, he had everything. His testimony was he had everything that he needed, his reputation, his schooling, he let that all go because of Jesus. So we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we see that here that it's not about Paul, it's not about Apollos, it's not about certain people. And I'd like to, with that, like to turn to Exodus and just look at some passages here in the Old Testament. But if we turn to Exodus, chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, it's Moses here, to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. God was getting Moses' attention. He was looking for someone to do a job. And he called on Moses. And Moses said that he responded and said, Here am I. And if we go fast forward to Exodus chapter 14, and we know that a lot happened in between these pages from Exodus 3 to Exodus 14, verse 10 through, starting in verse 10 here. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So, in Exodus chapter 3, God was looking for a man, and he was calling Moses here to help the children of Israel. They were in a predicament, and he continued working with Moses through these chapters, and here in Exodus 14, we see that finally, They were free, and they were on a journey, leaving Egypt behind them, and they were probably excited. But all of a sudden, they looked behind them, and they saw Pharaoh was coming, and they were afraid. They realized that the predicament that they were in, nobody was going to save them. And God was using Moses. He had chosen to use Moses here. It wasn't about Moses here. But God was looking for a man that was willing to work through these things. And here in chapter 14, we see that God spoke through Moses. Verse 13. Moses said unto the people, fear not. He said, stand still. Stand firm. And see how God will deliver you. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Moses, standing up in faith and calming the people down, there was fear everywhere. And Moses stood up and started speaking to them. Verse 14 said, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So here Moses was speaking to the people. And then in verse 15, God spoke to Moses and said, get busy. Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. It's time to get on the move. And as we know what happened there in verse 16, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And we see here in verse 16 that Moses lifted up the rod and he was told what to do, and God separated the waters. And we can look at that, at this passage from Exodus 3 and through 14 here and continue, and we can look at, it's like, wow, Moses did all kinds of things. But what I want us to see here is Moses was speaking for the Lord. What we see happening over and over again in these passages is that it's God's hand at work. God was speaking through Moses. Miracles were happening through Moses. And the people all saw, or they hardened their hearts. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, Verse 3 and 4. Facing a battle here, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. They were facing a people and had good reason to be dealing with all of these things. Let not your hearts be faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Again, here we see that it was not about the people, but it was God was working. He calmed them in verse 3. And then in verse 4, the promise is to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. So we see God working. in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. In verse 1 here, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside Ammon, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And then we continue on, we see that this battle was, there was a battle coming. And in verse 15, he said, "Hearken ye all Judea, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's." And we see these victories being won again and again, and we see God working. And it wasn't about a particular person, but it was about faithfulness. In Psalm 118, verse 6 and 7, "The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me, he is my helper." We see David's cry and his heart in and then thinking about battles that were lost, that weren't won because of unfaithfulness, because of sin. In Joshua chapter 7, we see an example here. Here they were facing a battle, and this is what they said. "And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled from the men." So here we see they were facing a battle, and it looked, they weren't afraid. They thought that they had this under control. And they didn't even go with full force because they just didn't think it was necessary. We go down to verse 11 and 12. Verse, maybe I'll start reading in verse 10. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgress my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you." So we see here Joshua the battle that was lost because of sin. And they had to deal with that. In Proverbs 15, verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. In Matthew chapter 17, maybe I'll just turn there. Verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. It's just, we see the sins here in the Old Testament, in the battle that was lost here. And just thinking about some of the things that maybe we face that will have similar effects if we don't deal with them. And one of them in Matthew 17 is the sin of unbelief. And he's even asking here in this verse, if we just have faith as a grain of mustard seed, just a little. And the sin of unbelief is going to have the same effects. In James chapter 1, again, reminds us here, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. James 4. Another sin that we see here, the sin of greed, James 4, verse 3, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. So these are some things that will hinder us in being, when we think about God working through us, in thinking about this message, I don't know if I mentioned it, but the title that I wanted to give is God wants to use you to do his work. And he's not looking for a certain name, or we don't need to be somebody important in this world's eyes, but we need to be important in God's eyes, and that is having a relationship with him, being obedient to him, and hearing like Moses did when God spoke to him. Moses' response was in that verse was, here am I. I hear words there that are saying, I'm available. I want to, what do you want? In Hebrews chapter 3, again, verses of warning here, verse 12 and 13, take heed, brethren, lest there be in in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We're called to exhort and encourage one another that we would stand strong. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, talking to youth here, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And coming back to this, God wants to use you to do his work. And looking at the teachings here in 1 Timothy and the encouragement that we see for the young people. And the teaching is here to live like this. And I believe that is the kind of people that God is looking for to use. And he's going to wants to knock on your door and say, hey, I need you. And he wants to hear that voice of, here am I. I'm available. I want to serve. I want to do the task that you ask me. So this is the kind of young people God wants to do his work through. Young people that are living this kind of life. In 1 Peter, and then we look at the rest of us, the kind in us. Looking at marriage, in we look at marriage in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 7 here. We see, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning, a plaiting of the hair, and a wearing of gold, or a putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God great price. Here we see God is looking for people that are, their beauty is hidden. There's depths here, and God wants to work through these kinds of people. Verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And we look at that last passage there, and we see that God is looking for a certain kind of people. And we see that in verse 7, that he's talking to husbands here. If we don't live a certain way, that our work is going to be hindered. We are not going to be effective. sobering. We look at Moses. God was knocking on Moses' door. And God is knocking on our door this morning. And he's seeking out a certain type of people. And it's not by status the way we think. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, that speaks to older people, and we can determine where we fit in all of this, but just the verse that I thought was fitting and encouraging, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." As we get older, we find our body starts failing. We have sores that we didn't have, and maybe we can't do as much as we used to. But here in verse 16, "Yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Our walk with God is stronger than ever, even though our bodies are failing us. We're worshiping the Lord, and that is the kind of person that God is looking for. He's going to use these types of people. In Mark chapter 11, verse 15. We see Jesus coming into the temple here, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught them, saying unto them, "Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Here in this passage, Jesus was cleansing. He came to the temple, and he saw things were going on that didn't belong there. And he dealt with them. And he got rid of them. This morning, as God is looking for men and women to do his work, he doesn't pass over you because he sees things that, you're not going to be able to do that because there's this and this going on in your life. But rather, he's going to stop. And he's going to point some things out. And he's going to show you. Here's some things going on in your life that are hindering you. And I want to clean it out. He's going to invite you to go with him. And he'll take care of it. And if we find ourselves unqualified this morning, and we realize that I'm not ready to do this work. Jesus is in the business of qualifying people and cleansing them. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In the previous passage, we saw Jesus cleansing the temple in a building. And here in chapter 3, verse 16, he reminds us here in this passage that know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. It's reminding us that he dwells in each one of us. And just as he came into the temple building there, and he saw things going on that grieved his heart, and he cleaned house there. And as he comes to us and sees our lives, he wants to do that with each one of us. And he loves each one of us here. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in closing here, as we think about that taking place in our lives, 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And as we experience Christ cleaning us and being current and free before him, we can, I believe this verse comes alive in our hearts, and we can feel free. We can lift our hands and experience joy and peace. And Psalms 51, verse 10, we see David's need here. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David saw a need for that in his life. And we see his life as he lives his life, that yes, he had mess ups and lost his way a few times, but he came back to Christ and he found that he found came back to God and experienced that clean heart. And that's what God is looking for, is for a people that is current, is staying current, is listening when he speaks to us. God wants to use you to do his work. And when we think about God's work being done, it's easy. It's easy for me to think, it's like, well, somebody else that is of higher caliber than me is going to have to do that, because I don't qualify. Remember, God is in the business of qualifying his people. to do his work. May God bless.